Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Just to give you a heads up, one of us is bound to say something not suitable for little ears. It is, after all, the 1 hour a day I spend away from my children.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday. This is the Baby Bank Account edition. I'm Ayman Ismail. I've got Musa here with me. That's, so if you hear some like sucking ASMR, that swear to God, that's not me, that's him. That's it.
And that's it. Okay, I'm Jamila Lemieux. I'm a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column. And don't tell anybody, but I've got Naima with me too. She's in the other room. And we live in Los Angeles, California.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog, Dutch Dutch Goose. And I'm the mom to three littles, Henry, who's 9, Oliver, who's 7, and Teddy, who's 4. And they are all at school. And we live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
So on today's show, we're answering a listener question from a parent who wonders, what should she do with all of their baby's monetary gifts? Should their 5-month-old daughter get a bank account? Then we give some advice to a listener who wants to know how to properly evaluate public schools. What distinguishes a good school from an average school? And on Slate Plus, we're discussing when parents should take a hands-off approach versus a hands-on approach with their kids. Where is the line between helping your kid avoid a mistake and letting them make mistakes to learn and grow from? But first, we're going to kick off the show with some triumph and fails. Jamila, do you have a triumph or a fail this week?
I have a classic Jamila triumph slash fail in which my child did not attend school today and I just don't care. She needed a break. I gave her a mental health day. There's a lot going on. She's back in extracurricular activities. You know, of course, that's a perfect reason to miss real school, but they are also important. And I don't know, I just feel like the last few days for us, for her, have been intense. And I have a friend in town that Naima hasn't really got a chance to spend any time with. And today I was just like, you need a break. So I gave her a break from school. It feels equally triumphy and faily. Triumphy because I know she needed it. Faily because we're supposed to send our kids to school every day. But that's where we are.
I'm pro mental health.
I'm pro cutting class always.
So good for you.
What's one day? I mean, unless she has like an exam, who cares?
Who cares?
I agree. Good for you. We'll see tomorrow, right? That's the thing. You can keep her home and then tomorrow she can go and it'll all be fine.
It'll all be fine. And she'll be with her dad tomorrow, so there'll be no temptation for me to keep her. I couldn't if I wanted to.
And don't let anybody shame you for looking out for number one, you know? Like, if you needed a mental health day and she needed a mental health day, that's what matters.
That is what matters. You're right.
Agreed. Well, I also have a classic new camp triumph fail craziness. So our Slate Plus listeners know that I took the family to Rocky Mountain National Park to see the elk rut, which is i.e. elk porn. It is when the male elk gather their harem. And they do this because they only mate once a year. And so this way they prevent the females from mating with other males. It's complete chaos. It's really cool. They bugle and they run at each other and try to run the other elk off. It's really interesting to watch. We went with some very good friends of ours and also did some hiking. And so that is when, this is Jeff's triumph and my fail. But we had split up into two different cars. You have to have all these reservations to get into the park and then into the special area of the park. And so the dads were driving one car with some of the kids and the moms were driving some of the other. I was driving. I was in the lead vehicle. And so we're going to hike at this area called Spruce Lake. And there's only one road out there. You have to have this reservation, blah, blah. So we park and we're waiting for the dads who are behind us. And like 30 minutes goes by and that they are just like not there. And there's no cell phone reception in the park. We have not a clue where they might be. So finally we see them come around the corner and they pull up and Jeff gets out of the car first. The other dad is driving and I'm sort of like, what's the deal? Like, what did you guys do? You know, like, we're waiting for you here. And he says to me, sorry, we're late. We had to put out a barn fire. And I was like, yeah, put out a barn fire. Like, I just think he's being like, you know, dumb about it. He's like, yeah, we put out a barn fire. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then the kids get out of the car and they're like, the dads pulled the car off on the side of the road and they jumped out of the car and they were like throwing stuff. So it turns out that in the national park, we were driving and there's a part where the road kind of goes around a corner. We went around and Jeff and this other dad, Ryan, saw smoke, drove over to the smoke, got there. There was a barn on fire.
What?
There was only one man there. A skid steer had started a fire inside this barn full of hay. So Jeff and Ryan jump out. They just like leave the kids in the car, jump out, and they're grabbing, there's like propane tanks and stuff sitting around the outside of the barn. So they're grabbing the propane tanks and like grabbing wood and all this stuff and like running them to a different part of the forest. And earlier this year in the spring, like half of the national park burned in what's called the East Troublesome Fire.
Oh my God.
So it's really sad.
Oh my God.
It's a long drive for the fire truck. So Jeff and them are like pulling. There's only one other guy there. There's no cell phone. He's trying to like radio the man that was working at the barn. He shuts down the barn, all of that. Eventually the fire trucks do arrive, and then Jeff and Ryan left to come join us to hike. Well, of course, pretty much as soon as they got there, the rangers follow there and are like, we need to evacuate this area. So they look to Jeff and Ryan like, well, we just saw you, can you help us evacuate? So our family is like going around like, we need to leave, there's a barn on fire, we don't want to get trapped here. So we have kind of this like very dramatic day. We have to leave this whole area of the park. We go to a different meadow to see the elk rut. It's like very fun. We get home though, and the adults are just like done. Like we are done with the day, right? Like the two men have legitimately like helped save a fire. The women like chastise them for 20 minutes only to find out that they're heroes. You know, then we ran the kids around. So we get home. This is where my fail comes in. And the parents had been brought this game up to the cabin. We're staying at our friend's cabin. And Somify, I've talked about it before. It's a wine tasting game. We had like bought the wine. Everyone really wanted to play. The kids are all like worked up. We're just basically like, get in this room you're sharing and go to bed. And that did not work well. So we're like trying to play this wine tasting game and like have an adult night and go upstairs. So finally, I like go upstairs and I do not see Teddy. Everyone else has fallen asleep. And I'm just like, I'm sure he's in the house somewhere. So I go back downstairs. I'm like, I don't know where Teddy is, but he didn't come down the stairs. I'm sure he's fine. So we go upstairs several hours later to go to bed. And he is passed out under the bed in like one of the adult rooms, like with his dead iPad. I suspect that he just abandoned the children's room, found his iPad, climbed under the bed, watched till who knows when, and fell asleep. Mm-hmm. But I got to play my wine game. So, you know, triumph for Jeff for saving the forest, fail for me for being like, I've had enough.
I think it's a triumph because you got to play your wine game.
I did.
Yeah. You're selling it short.
And by the end, I didn't really care, right?
I mean, it's not saving a barn fire, but it's something.
Yeah.
Saving your own personal inner barn fire, I think.
Exactly. More mental health, pro mental health, right? A little playing having some adult time, but an eventful trip all around.
What about you, Eamon?
Oh, man. I have reached the horizon. I have climbed the mountain. I'm like on cloud 9 right now. This is like triumph doesn't even begin to describe how I'm feeling right now. It's crazy. Musa smiled and laughed and is like a person now for the first time in his life. It's so crazy. For the past 3 months, I've just been, you know, working my behind off for the sake of this kid, like not sleeping. And all the payoff I get is like a burp. And like that was the reward for the day, right? But now he's like laughing. He's laughing. So it all started on 2 nights ago. And he needed a diaper change in the middle of the night after I fed him. So I took off his diaper and then it was like a super soaker. It was like one of those like projectile poopies that flung. And my instinct was to like cover it with my hand to like minimize the mess. And then I like clean my hand off. I put like the diaper down. And I'm like, okay, we're going to get a fresh diaper. We're going to make this. We're going to try this again. I do it again, and then, boof, again, the second time, a huge tsunami, like, shoots out of this tiny little thing. But this time, it, like, gets onto the diaper-changing kit, and it's, like, kind of all over my stuff, and on my pants a little bit. I'm like, oh, my God, this kid. I'm, like, so angry. I'm so mad, because he had all night to get it out, and especially after the first squirt, I gave him a minute. So yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit him down. I'm going to wait, like, 2-3 minutes this time. I'm scrolling my phone. I'm like, okay, enough time has passed. I take the dirty diaper off, and again, woof, I'm like, oh my God, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. And it, and it goes on like the couch behind me. And I'm like, this is not what I want to do at 3 a.m. Long poopy story short, I'm able to get him cleaned up. I get all of it out of him. I just prayed. I was like, all right, this is the last time I'm doing this. If not, I'm waking your mother up. And so I do the business. I get him clean. He's happy. And then I put him down to like put him to bed. And then he just lets out like a, just that, just a little tiny thing. And then my heart literally exploded. And I turned the lights on. I'm like, Mira, wake up, wake up. He's laughing. Do it again. And we start tickling him and he's laughing like crazy. And he's having like the best time. And honestly, that was like, that just made all the poopy worth it. Like I didn't care about the poopies anymore. I forgave him. I chose to forgive him. It was the best feeling in the world.
I love it.
Ever since then, we like went to lunch the next day with some family members because we're out here in Kentucky with my wife's family. And he's just sitting in the chair and they're playing peekaboo with him and he's having a great time and he's laughing and he's smiling and he's looking around. He's alert. Everybody's just making faces and he's like mimicking the faces and he's just a laughing baby now.
I know he's definitely, he looks like a little person now.
He does.
Not a baby. Like he's interested in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I love it.
So
that's like the best thing in the world, honestly. I feel amazing. The only consolation is he's like rapidly changing right now. So I like handed him off for like 30 minutes so I can write a piece for Slate. And then it was like a whole new person. I had like no idea who this kid was. He just had like a whole new personality in 30 minutes. And I was like meeting him for the first time. And that just keeps happening. So he's like in this phase right now where everything is brand new, even for us. So, whew.
That's awesome.
I'm like, even talking about it, I'm just getting hit with adrenaline. It's nuts.
Aww.
It's amazing. It's worth it, you guys. I've been telling people don't have babies. Now I'm like, yo, have babies. They're awesome. They smile eventually.
They do. They do. What an exciting time.
I know. I feel like you got to bottle this up. Like these moments are like so great. Sometimes I have a hard time even like looking back on them because they're like so excited. Like the idea that I'm not going to have that moment again is sometimes a lot for me.
Yeah.
Aww.
Same. I know.
All right. That was fun. Now it's time to take care of some business. First, please subscribe to the show. It helps us out and the show will automatically show up in your feed. So it's good for you and for us. And if you want even more of our show, you should become a Slate Plus member. You'll get a whole bonus segment every single week. Here's a sneak peek of what you could hear today about when to let your kids make mistakes.
How can I meet them in a loving way? Loving, but also firm. Like, I think it's a hard line. And I also am just preparing that I will fail on that a lot. You know, I try to give myself some, like, it's okay. We're not going to do this right every time, but we're going to try our best.
Not only will you get fun extra segments like that, but you'll even get bonus episodes for shows like Political Gap Fest and Slate's Working podcast. And you'll get unlimited reading on the Slate website without ever hitting a paywall again. Doesn't that sound worth it? So if you want to support us and support Slate, sign up for Slate Plus. It's only $1 for the first month. Just go to slate.com/momanddadplus. And don't forget, Slate's parenting newsletter is the best place to be notified about all our parenting content, including Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Care and Feeding, and much more. Get all of Slate's parenting content right into your inbox every week. Sign up at slate.com/parenting email. And we'll be back to the show right after this quick break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
And we're back. Okay, on to our first listener question. It's being read, as always, by the amazing Sasha Leonard.
Hi, Mom and Dad. I'm curious on what you think parents should do with monetary gifts to their kids, in particular when they are infants. We have wonderful friends and family who have given us various monetary gifts for milestones in our infant's life, but my husband and I are trying to figure out what the heck to do with them. Assuming we can fund her college ourselves, do we put it in her 529? A separate bank account she gets access to when she's old enough? Split it? Or put holiday gifts in the 529 and she keeps birthday gifts. When she's a baby and doesn't have a concept of gifts or money, it's one thing, but when she starts opening these gifts herself, what do we do? Does my 5-month-old need a bank account?
Okay, so it sounds like you don't have problems, so we'll just skip this question.
Exactly. This is such a good problem to have. I feel like feeling like the money belongs to your child because it's being given to your child, but you're like a caregiver. And I think the advice that I can give you on this is to say, like, yes, this is like a wonderful problem to have and to really think about putting this money away, because when the time in your life at which you need money is a time in which, like, you will appreciate this. And sometimes it's hard for us to, like, hold things that we think are our children's. Like it's like, well, this belongs to them. Should I give it to them when they turn 18? Should I give it to them when they, you know, hit this other milestone? Like, what is that? I think the point is, if you put it away, you can make those decisions later. Now, the 529, you know, it's like, if you think you can pay for college, then maybe you don't need to put it in a 529, but maybe you put it in a 529 for college, and then the money you would have put in there, you can use for something else. Like, those are kind of a family decision you need to make. But I did create a list of things to think about. I don't know that I can answer your question, but there are children's savings account, which I think is a good idea. There are custodial accounts where you create an account in your child's name, but you are the custodian of that until they are 18 or some other age. You, of course, can do the 529. You can do a Roth IRA. You can open a health savings account. You can set aside or start a trust fund. Like, these are all ways that I think that you can think about providing for your child in the future. You do not know what your situation will be. Like, situations change all the time with both your health, your child's health. Like, you know, every day I think is a gift, and knowing about that. But I think the point is, don't just let it sit there and think like, okay, eventually we'll do something, because it comes very easy to sort of forget about what that is. And you know, when your kid is, even if you are able to provide for these things, if you have put it away, there is an opportunity in the future to talk about that money when they can understand it, to have them help you divide it. You know, if you put it in some kind of savings account, you can always put it in the 529 later. You can always divide it and talk about, if you do kind of the saving, spending, sharing method, that's when they are capable of having that conversation with you. You can help them choose things that they're saving for, be that college or something else, a car, a, you know, whatever down the road. You know, also talking about how you want to share that money. It's wonderful that when you're teaching that lesson, to be able to have some money that's your child's, to say, this is an opportunity to share money with a cause that you believe in. And you are lucky enough that these people who care for you gave you this money, and now you get the opportunity to share that. I think a lot, my grandparents were big at buying little savings bonds, and a lot of them have came when you can cash them out for their twice their value. When I was in this period of like, having kids and trying to buy a house and doing these things. And these gifts felt incredible to me, you know, in the way that I think having the money at 9 or 18 or something else wouldn't have, because it felt like, okay, now I'm an adult and I can make these decisions of like, these are the charities and things we want to support and give to. These are the things in life that we are saving for that set us up on a good path. So I guess my advice is set up an account for them. There's a lot of different options, but save the money for them and for a time at which you can have a intelligent conversation about financial management, and also be giving them this gift that can be more than just like, yay, I have money for Legos, you know?
I 100% agree. I think, you know, as Eamon said, you don't have problems, just the thing to mull over. But you know what your plans are in terms of what you're willing to spend when your child is in high school. Are you going to give them access to a car? Would you be willing to allow them to have a car as a high school student if you were able to pay for one? And I'm assuming that, you know, obviously you all have prepared for paying for college. You know, that could be an issue on campus. Are they going to need to be able to get around? Are they going to have a car? Do you want to buy them a car? There are a number of big ticket purchases and also spending money in college, you know, like, are you going to be giving them some sort of allowance, or are they going to be expected to work to have money? I think you have a lot of opportunities coming up in the future where you can have great conversations about what the value of these dollars is and a responsible way of using it, and that you should save it. Letting them spend it now or sooner than young adulthood would be a complete waste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the way that I've been handling it so far is every time anybody gives me like any monetary gifts for my baby, I just throw it in my account or in my savings account or in any of the accounts that I have. I don't know. I feel like maybe people, when they do give those gifts, have a sense of an idea that you're really giving it to the parents, not to the kid. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but everybody who's given me a single cent for Musa, I've just been like, thank you very much for the gift for me.
Well, I think it depends how they give it. Like, if it's a savings bond, you know, I think the expectation is this is given to the child. I think if it's a cash gift, that's usually like for the parents to use for the care or the delight of the child as they see fit.
Yeah, but isn't everything that we do for ourselves also for the care of the kid, really?
No. Intentionally, deliberately, no.
So my mom gave my son, when he was born, like $100 to hold on to, and he was about to eat the thing. So if anything, I rescued that $100 bill.
Yeah,
you did.
You know,
you did.
So that's what I'm. Maybe you're right. I mean, the farthest I've done for this kid's financial future so far was I just added him as a user on my credit card just to start building his credit now. But maybe I'll start like a savings account for him.
You know, some of it though, it depends on like how you, like knowing yourself, right? I mean, one, obviously like what is to this person, they're obviously, this person who's written in has obviously said like, we're okay financially. That's obviously very different than if what you need is help with care or any of those things. I think in that case, you should in no way feel bad about using money that you're given to provide for your child, right? Like that should be a no-brainer, absolutely. But yeah, I think if you know that yourself as a person are unlikely to be able to hold on to that money or use that money for your child in the way that they need it now, setting up an account is a good accountability way to say, this isn't really mine, it's theirs, right? But these are all like such personal decisions depending on your family and what's going on and your projected needs. You know, I think the goal is obviously to raise a happy, healthy baby, and that requires money.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, what we spent the money on was like a cleaning service. That's like really where the $100 went. We were like, well, let's just get this place clean for Musa.
Perfect.
But now I'm hearing this and I'm thinking, should I just like thrown it in this account? Maybe when he's older, it'll be worth like $300 maybe.
You can do that sometimes. That's not, you know what okay. I mean? Like, I think that's a good thing to do.
I kind of feel like an idiot now. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I kind of do feel like an idiot.
I'm 8 years into like just spending her money. So now I'm like, wow, you know, give me a lot to think about. I just figured I was going to be rich by the time all this shit mattered, you know? But I do think that you've inspired me. I'm going to open up an account and throw money in there.
I'm going to Google what a 529 is.
I was too ashamed.
So 529, it's a college savings plan. But the problem with that is that you can only pull it out. I am not an expert in this, but you can only pull it out for certain educational things. So there is some, if you are in a situation where you're getting a lot of money, you're really committing this to certain educational goals. And so I think, while it's great and it's a great college savings plan and there's, of course, tax benefits, you can run into a situation where you're raising a child that college is not the best option for them. And now you have this money that they can't necessarily access. Now, that can go to siblings and it can go. There's a lot of things covered by the educational, but it is not, you know, I do worry, like, if you put everything in that bucket. I just think of other costs. Like, I mean, Jamila, you brought up a whole bunch, like you save all this stuff for college. But like, what if you're able to get a scholarship or do something about college, but then what you need is spending money, or this money could have made the difference between like not having to have a full-time job during college or not. You know what I mean? Like, I think about those kind of things. I do want to say, though, that I don't think you should feel bad about the cleaning service, because I think that if that's giving you time to be with your baby and to have a clean house, then that is absolutely for them and something that is helping you. And you should not feel guilty. I took this to mean like, should I go out and buy another toy or should I take this money? You know, should I save this money? If you need this for cleaning, running the house, groceries, diapers, any of that stuff, even the more amorphous, if you need this for your car, right? Then that, I think absolutely those are like your first line needs. And it's a real privilege to be able to say, I'm saving this. But if you can manage it, I just think what a gift you're able to give them then when they're 18 or whatever that looks like, maybe 17, maybe 16, because they're headed off, you know, to work, to be able to say, like, here's some money, you know, to get you started. If you can manage that, that to me is an amazing gift to give someone.
Fair game. So thank you so much for writing in. We hope we helped. I hope I didn't shame you. I hope you don't feel shamed, or at least we made it clear that we are in the same boat. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
And back to the show. All right, so now on to our second listener question. Take it away, Sasha.
Dear Mom and Dad, what do you use to evaluate a potential public school? I'm a first-time mom of a 9-month-old and very much considering selling our current smallish house for a larger one. What is considered good versus average? And what other factors should be considered besides those that can be measured?
I personally love this question because this is something that I looked at a lot. There's this website that I used called niche.com, or is it .org? It's like N-I-C-H-E that will give you school rankings and give you letter grade ratings for pretty much every single category you can think of, including diversity, ground transportation, and standardized test score results. It's awesome. It kind of lit a fire under my butt because I looked up where I was living and I just like moved it back into the neighborhood where I grew up in. And I panicked a little bit because I saw all the schools in my area are like C- and D's. So I was like, I cannot send this kid here. It's not going to do it justice. But I'd recommend using that website. But you asked specifically about the ratio between students and teachers. I think anything larger than 25, in my opinion, would be considered like a large class. If you can find some school that's lower than that, in like 20 even, or 15, that'd be amazing. But I think that's probably one of the biggest factors is how many teachers are in the school per student. And also one of the things that I think is also really, really important, the diversity. Like diversity is really, really, really important for the social growth of your child. You know, they're going to be in a world, no matter what you try and mold for them, they're going to go out and they're going to experience new things and they're going to meet new people who they haven't met before. You want to give them the best shot at, you know, being sociable and being cool and being able to adapt and not be offensive, you know. And these aren't things that teachers can teach, but you do have to learn in school. So that's just sort of my first impressions. What do you think, Elizabeth?
So to me, I don't know that there's good school is different for everyone. And I think so much is going to depend on both your child and also what your values are and what is important to you. For some people, a good school is proximity. For some people, a good school is going to be really dependent on test scores are really important to me, or, you know, whatever that is for you and your family. I kind of feel like the question in general is kind of problematic. Like, I was confused whether she's asking because she wants to move in, because they're moving, and then is it because you're worried about your house selling, or are you worried about where are you going to send your child? It seems like at 9 months old, you don't really know your child. You don't necessarily know what they're going to need or what they're going to want or even what your situation is. So I kind of feel like, does the neighborhood have a good feel for you? Do you feel like the neighborhood is diverse? Because so many of these things, like your test scores, your teacher ratios, like all of that are directly correlated to property values and then how much tax money is going towards your school. And so that may not necessarily be the best judge of is that what you want? And again, I don't have a ton of experience with public schools or even schools in the United States, but when we were choosing schools in the Netherlands, and then when I was looking here, so much of it came from walking into the school and thinking, will my child be cared for here? And is this the kind of population in which, I think, Iman, what you were talking about, is my kid going to learn from the other students? Are there things here that they are going to learn about being part of this society in the way that I want it to be? And I don't know that you can get that from strictly looking at numbers. But Jamila, I was really interested in what you were going to say about this, because you, last year, we got to hear about you switching Naima school and then switching back when it was a bad fit.
Yeah, I went to public schools, and my daughter has gone to exclusively public schools since she graduated from pre-K. And, you know, I think there are so many factors that are not easily assessed by any sort of rubric, right? I think once you have your basic requirements met, so, you know, ideal class size is somewhere around 15 to 18. Average American class size is closer to 21 to 24, and it's higher for public schools than it is for private schools. You know, if you find a place, it's okay, the ratios are decent, the grades are good, you know, you still have to go inside the school and meet the teachers. You know, you have to see the school community and find out what sort of extracurricular activities are they offering? What kind of languages do they have? What kind of, you know, parental involvement is there? Is this a community that I want to be a part of? You know, and I think that, you know, just as when you are purchasing your home, you're making this consideration about you know, who do I want to be my neighbors? Who do I want to hang out with? The school community, whether your child ended up in a school walking distance from your home or on the other side of town, is in so many ways a vital community to you and your child for the duration of your kid's time there. So I think your child is very, very young. You know, you've got a lot of time. You know, you could fall in love with the school now, and through leadership changes, it could be a completely different school by the time you have a kindergartner. You know, I've seen schools change drastically 2 or 3 times in a 5-year period. You know, that is how public schools work. So I think the best you can do is find a community that fits your values, that has schools that feel like they would be a good fit for you. And as your child gets older, you know, go up there to buy Girl Scout cookies, go to the fall jamboree, you know, be a part of the school community. School communities, plural, right? Check out a few different schools in your area and see what feels right for you. But you've got a long way to go.
Yeah, you're sort of in the same boat as me, because my baby's 3 months old and I'm already freaking out over what school he's going to go to and how on earth am I going to chart his path to college? And to a degree, I'm sort of just in listening to you guys, I'm learning that I am like overreacting and freaking out over these things in the same way that this writer might be. So yeah, I guess my feelings right now is chill out a little bit and that schools do change and that, you know, there are other alternatives, you know, at least in my area, there's like charter schools and there's private schools and thank God, Ryan, that the private schools are not that expensive. So, you know, there's other options, not just public schools. What I am still worried about, though, is whether or not they do have like a high graduation rate and whether or not they do have like a high rate of kids going to college, because that's what made me decide right from the bat that I'm not sending my kid to these public schools in my area. And granted, I did go to these public schools, but if anything, that scares me more because I know how bad they get. And yeah, it's really worrying that only like 20% of those kids actually do ever graduate and that the rest of the 80 just fall through the cracks. And that to me is like unacceptable, and I'm not willing to roll the dice with my son. But on the other hand, on the flip side of that, a lot of how your child, you know, succeeds in school is up to the parent and how involved you want to be. And whether or not you want to make sure that they're enrolled in extracurriculars or are doing extra work. And if you notice them falling behind, if you're going to help them yourself or get them even a tutor, you know? So I think when you do look at some of these stats, they might look scary, but you have to also realize that like a lot of it really is up to you and how much time you have to be involved in your child's school life.
I feel like I am sort of like put off a little bit by the notion of like good schools and bad schools and then using these rankings, because then we sort of circle around and say like, well, we wish the schools weren't so like test-based, or we wish the schools like spent more time on these other things. But then we as parents like are trying to make our decisions on where to send people, and where you send your child, of course, is directly correlates to how much money, you know, that school gets. And so it's all, to me, it's a very complicated situation, right? Like we all want to do the best by our kids, sending them this good place, sending them to the best place they possibly can be. But what good looks like, or what value you're getting out of school, can be so different. And I guess I also feel like your academic progress or your academic success obviously matters in some extent what doors will be opened for you. But if you are a parent that is already worrying about this and have kind of the financial means to worry about this, right? Like you're able to choose which house you're looking at based on school districts or make those kind of decisions based on that, your child is probably going to be fine anywhere. Like you are probably already set up for success just by the nature of your situation. And so this may have even less impact, you know, how good that school is, like whether you get into a school that has, you know, I don't even know exactly the metric, but a few percentage points here or there on any one of these things is probably irrelevant to you if you have these financial means and can provide extra things for your child. So I do think just like calm down about it, see who your child turns out to be, because it could turn out that what is most important to you is the swimming program and your school might not have a pool. It could turn out that what's most important is, you know, speech and debate, and you end up moving your child for something like that, or they are really drawn towards art and what you're looking for is something that nourishes that. And so I think if you look for, Jamila said this so perfectly, if you look for the community that you want to be a part of and that you feel good and supported in, and also one that is challenging you to grow, I think it's important that you look for a place that's also going to push you and push your student in different ways and whichever way you need to be pushed. Like it's possible that you need to be pushed academically. It's also possible that where you need to be pushed is to be in a more diverse setting than you are. You know that about yourself and your family. And I encourage you to look for a place where you can grow, this person. Because at the end of the day, that's at least what I think education should be about, is about kind of growing people academically and personally.
The other thing, you have to get to know parents at any school that you're trying to check out. The only way to really know the school is to talk to the families that are a part of the school. And so once you get into a community, you'll get to talk to parents and you'll see what life in these schools near your new house are like. And you'll definitely have a much better run at deciding if it's a good fit for you than trying to determine that based on statistics and data now.
It's also okay to change your mind. You can make all these choices now and move in next to what you think is the perfect school and show up and it's not good for you. And that's okay.
That's true. All right. Well, thank you so much for our listeners for writing in. I hope that was helpful. If you have an update at some point, please let us know. We love updates and we love to know whether or not our advice was awesome or atrocious. And to the rest of our listeners out there, are you looking for some amazing or not amazing parenting advice? Well, that's literally our job. So please email us at momanddad@slate.com. Full disclosure, when I say awesome advice, I'm talking about Elizabeth and Jamila. When I say not so awesome, I'm talking about myself. So let's move on to recommendations. Jamila, what do you have?
Okay. I never thought of myself as somebody who would be a soup maker, but I have started making soups, and I am encouraging folks to just try. Just take a chicken carcass or some bones from, like, say if you made, like, I made turkey wings the other day, and like I saved, like, they were so tender, the meat fell off the bone, not bragging. And so I saved the bones and I used the bones to make a bone broth. And I bought a bag of frozen soup vegetables and I dumped in a couple of things that I just had in the cabinet and some leftover chicken meat because it needed more meat and a bunch of seasonings. And right now it's in my slow cooker making a soup. And this is like the third time I've done it lately. And it's so easy. And you may not think that you're a great enough cook to make a soup, but I'm telling you, just make a soup.
I feel like you have taken on so many great cooking adventures. And you, it just turns out you're like amazing at all of them.
I'm not. It's just, it's the handful that it's like I can do quiche, key lime pie, soup, and a few baked goods. I've got a handful of other things that work well for me.
I feel so inspired because you're always like, I tried this new thing and like, this is how I made it work. And it sounds so simple. I think eventually we need a Jamila Mom and Dad Are Fighting cookbook.
Oh, Lord.
Definitely.
Simple recipes. Like, because you do just like the way you just described it, because I'm thinking like, I know your soup like looks and tastes amazing, but you described it like this is no big deal. Just
I wouldn't say looks, but they do tend to taste pretty good. I'm heavy handed with garlic and miso. So yes. Shout out to them.
Garlic. I love garlic.
Yum. Yeah. Gosh, I always just feel so inspired, Jamila.
Thank you.
What about you, Elizabeth?
So I am recommending a podcast for kids that we've really been enjoying. And actually, we've been enjoying it for a while. And then this weekend, we were playing it in a car driving up to Rocky Mount National Park. And I sort of thought it was something that everyone knew about, but this other family really enjoyed it too. So now I'm going to share it. It's from National Geographic Kids and it's called Greeking Out. And it's sort of like a retelling of Greek myths. And it's very cute and child friendly. And I really love because there's so much in Greek mythology that's like in literature and in just like root words of things. And so for kids to kind of get a taste for that. And my kids are into the event, you know, there's lots of monsters and fighting and a little bit of introduction of some, not sex, but of, you know, relationships and all of that. So it's a good jumping off point for just talking about all these things in a really fun way. And they do all these voices. So it's like listening to a really nice story. It's something I don't mind listening to as well. So it's a kids podcast from National Geographic Kids called Greeking Out.
Yeah, I want to check that out. Most of you probably won't understand it, but that sounds awesome. So I kind of want to just recommend getting out of the house and like moving in with a grandma or a relative for like a week. I highly recommend that. It's been awesome so far. And not just, you know, the obvious stuff where you have like a little bit more hands on deck. You can just like hand the baby off and go take a shower. Like that's great. Don't get me wrong. But one of the things that I found to be really really rewarding is that we've had to pack like everything that we think we need to survive this week with a baby. And obviously you can't like bring everything on a plane and go someplace, but just over the past week, I've been here for about a week now, and it's been a revelation in the sense where I've realized I don't need as many bottles as we have. And because we only have like four bottles, I've been just washing them often And it's been very, very cathartic for me to be able to step away and like just get my hands with some like soapy and cleaning. And also that when there's not like 10 bottles sitting at the sink, I'm less inclined to just tell myself, I can't do this right now. I'm just going to walk away and do it later. And also like we had like this bouncy chair that we always like have been using. And now we're like learning new techniques to just hold them and keep them silent and occupied and happy. You know, I'm just starting to realize I don't need half of the stuff that I got for this baby. And so that's been like really rewarding. And I wish I'd took this trip sooner. Yes, because the extra hands are awesome, but I maybe would have saved some money and that I wouldn't have bought so much stuff to keep this kid entertained because I read too many travel blogs and stuff. Now I know exactly what I need, how much of what I need for it, and it's been really rewarding.
I think that's something I would love to do right now. I cannot wait till I can go be with an elder again.
I think that's good advice to get out there when you can and travel and just build confidence too that you can travel with the bait. Like it doesn't end everything and it's hard, but it's in some ways not any harder than being at home with the baby.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly.
At least there's other things to do.
Yeah. Oh. And I used to have no idea how much of anything this kid uses because I just get like the biggest box because I have like the space to store or whatever. And so now I'm getting like the smaller packs of diapers and they have exactly 29 diapers in them. And so I know exactly how many he's using, how often. And it just helps me keep track of how much I'll need if we're going to go to the park today, if we're going to spend a night somewhere. I just have a much more solid grasp on how much this kid uses and what he needs to get through the night. And maybe it's just because I'm spending more time with this kid. But I really do think it's because I had a choice. I had to leave some things behind. And just having to make that choice, maybe you don't even need to travel. Maybe you just need to sit and take inventory of all the stuff that you have and like the gifts and what you bought for your baby. And maybe make some gifts for some people. Because downsizing has been really, really good for my mental health. Full circle, you see? We're going back to mental health. Yeah. Just like having a few bottles, I swear to God, I'm going to go home and give away almost all of them because having just the four, just what I need, has been so much more healthy for me as far as keeping them clean and having that cycle go, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been awesome. There is such a thing as too many bottles. Yeah, I learned that today.
Well, I'm glad for you all getting this trip. It sounds like it was really needed.
Yeah, next time you're invited. And that's our show. If you have any questions for us, email us at momanddad@slate.com and post it to the Slate Parenting Facebook group. Just search for Slate Parenting. Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Morgan Flannery. For Jamila Lemieux and Elizabeth Newcamp, I'm Eamon Ismail. Thanks for listening.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.